Welcome to the situation report for December 2nd. It's been a interesting Thanksgiving, that's for sure. Lots of UFO sightings. I was waiting for, you know, our guy, the space guy, Elon Musk, to, you know, give us the 411 on what the aliens really want, since he's the space guy and he's the guy that has all the space shit. Disregard the mirror in my glasses there. I got the Lucia Eyes Dr. Cruz 40% frames, and then I also have the Bunu. So it's interesting when you wear these things. I'm telling you, if you're in front of a screen all day like I am, this is the way to go, because this gives you no fatigue. Literally, you look away from this thing and it's night and day difference. I mean, night and day. So highly recommend them. If you have prescription lenses, that's the way to go. And I just got them. I just got the prescriptions today. I got the readers a while ago. But yeah, interesting stuff. So I can't decide which ones I want to wear. Part of it's the glare, but. So the UFO thing always comes up when the administration's in trouble. And by the way, that was Joan Jett. Do you want to touch me? I thought that was appropriate for today. Kind of an Austin Powers day, for lack of a better word. But interesting thing. So Troop made an announcement today that wanted to echo. He's going to start a show in January. What's he going to call it? Stand by. I have to go look it up on Telegram. I posted it and then promptly moved on to something else and lost my train of thought. He is going to call it. Where's that? Thursday, every Thursday night at 6 p.m. It's going to start in January. What's it going to be called? In there somewhere. Looking here, bear with me. It's quite a long post. I've gone to me. If one of you guys read the whole post, you got time to nug through it, can you post it in the channel? But yeah, he's going to do his own channel. I think that's good. I actually think that's a good thing for him, because I think he'll have a good format. And he'll have the Friends and Feds show. That's what it was. Yeah, he says every time he does videos, like, hello, Friends and Feds. So he's going to do a show based on that. I think it's good. I think it's about time. So, and I made the decision that I'm going to change the format of my show. I'm going to move it to the other channel called the Path Forward. I'm going to change my name on Twitter, as well as Gab and True Social, to the Path Forward, and start talking about how we clean things up, how we take back our government, how we take back our communities, and how we take back our schools, and start looking at, you know, offering new solutions, or at least solutions to the problems we have, instead of just bitching about them. So look for that. Probably start in the second week of January, maybe the third, depends. I'll be traveling for the first week or so. So stay tuned for that, but definitely going to change format and go to a different format. The roundtables, we will continue to do those as things come up. And that brings me to the main topic I wanted to talk through tonight. Tons of feedback. Look, I get everybody is freaked out about Trump's picks and Trump's, you know, his whole cabinet choices. But look, at the end of the day, the thing you got to remember is they still have to get confirmed. So it's one thing for them to be nominated. It's completely a different deal for them to get confirmed. And if you watch what's going on in California, Oregon, Washington, and all the blue states, they're still counting ballots. California, still counting them. And it's funny how they come up with just enough votes for the blue ticket to overtake the red ticket and install somebody favorable to the regime. It's dumb, but it is what it is. And at the end of the day, I think the thing that all of us should at least be cognizant of is we knew this was going to happen. It's like I got a bunch of feedback about Biden pardoning his son. Was anybody really surprised? I mean, really? Was anybody like, why would you be surprised by that? I mean, there's no surprise there. You knew he's going to do it. He's a mob boss. What do mob bosses do? They pass laws so that they could do criminality out in the open. That's what they do, and that's what he's doing. I don't know why people are like, they're just shocked. Why are you shocked? We all knew he was going to do it on the way out. But here's the thing. The funny thing is that even if he does do that, let's just say for argument's sake, right? Let's say for argument's sake that he just goes ahead, pardons his son. Okay, we talked about that. Well, the bottom line is, even if he pardons his son, it still means he can be charged with treason. It still means he can be run through the court system. And, you know, pardon, the thing that people lose sight of with a pardon is that it's an admission of guilt. It means you did something wrong and you're being exonerated and getting a get out of jail free card by the president. And it's something that most presidents exercise on the way out. So I don't know why people are surprised he's doing it. But here's the funny thing. Now the Hunter's been pardoned. Put him on the stand. He can't plead the fifth. He can't plead the fifth at all. So he's got to tell the truth. And guess what? You get the big guy. And you get all the associates. And then you get all of the other crime families that were affiliated with it. Because look, it's not just the Bidens that are in Ukraine. It's the Pelosi's, it's the Kerry's, it's the Clintons, it's the Bushes, the whole cast of characters. You know, the same group of malcontents that we've been dealing with since, you know, the Patriot Act came around in 2000, even before that. Guess what? They're all involved. And then there's the minions, the Newlands, the John Boltons, the cast of characters, Susan Rice, et cetera. You can go down the list. And as you start to go down the list, then you start to get all of the NGOs that they leveraged and all the players in the NGOs that they leveraged to get everything that you need to put them behind bars forever. And to me, that seems like a better way to go than to try and get Hunter Biden. I mean, look, we know he's a dope smoking crack whore turning tricks in the living room. We know that. That's not new information. I mean, like I said this a long time ago, that dude put a whole new definition in a weekend in Vegas with hookers and blow. He has redefined and put some serious, serious dents in that persona. So why do you care about rolling him up? You know how he's going to go. He's going to OD on something once his old man dies. So come on, why worry about it? Right? We want the big fish. We want all the rats. We want all the shitbags all the way down to the news media that we're covering for these people. We want all of this to be rolled up in one big group. But more importantly, we want the world to see what these people have been doing. And I mean the bankers, all the people that laundered the money over there, all the people that ran the bio labs, all the people that harvested biomaterial and trafficked humans, all that stuff's going to come out, all of it. And does that mean we're going to get to January 20th and everything's going to be fine? No, we still got some surprises there. I would not put it past the establishment to come up with some way to try and not confirm Trump before he gets in. I mean, that's just how it. Jesus. Anyway, long story short, there's still some surprises coming. And here's the other one. Carter has not passed yet, or at least they haven't announced it. I think he's on ice. The big roll up. No, that's too cliche-ish. You can't do every pun and every cliche to the extreme, because it's already done in Scottsdale and down in Miami. So you can't top that. Like every pun, every cliche done. Oh my God. And the amount of Botox that is and silicone that is in Scottsdale is unbelievable. There is, man. So no, you can't use a cliche. But anyway, I think we're going to see some surprises. And I talk about Carter for a couple of reasons, because Carter, go back to John McCain. John McCain was the spectacle as Trump was, I think he was like a year in or midway in. He was the spectacle. But he was also changing of the guard, which is what I think Carter is too. Carter represents a changing of the guard. Because remember, this is not just a war for the soul of the country. This is spiritual as well. And so I'm looking at this from a holistic landscape. And what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is I'm seeing three converging lines of operation right now, right? The UFO story. Like, there's been sightings. There was a sighting in Kansas. And the caption was, "This is starting to get ridiculous." And I think that's appropriate, because it is. And doesn't it strike you odd that Elon Musk is the guy that is in charge of most of our space programs right now? I mean, let's face it, he's got the biggest space program in the world. And don't you find it funny that all of a sudden he's hooked up with Donald Trump? Which takes me back to a briefing Trump had, I think it was in 2017 or late 2017 or early 2018, he had with Vladimir Putin, where he literally, Putin said, "Mr. President, you should tell the world about the X amount of alien races you're in contact with." I can't help but think that Musk's whole job is to do disclosure. That's why his new call sign is the space guy. So instead of Bill Nye the Science Guy, we got Bill Nye the Space Guy. That's what he is. He's the space guy. And I am convinced that his whole job is to do disclosure of whatever tech we have, right? And call it, you know, we have this contact with aliens or whatever the storyline is that they're going to use. But all of these different sightings that have happened over the last, 6 weeks, every bit of that it's controlled narrative. And every time I see controlled narrative, I think, okay, what's coming next? What's the next, you know, turd they're going to drop in the punch bowl and expect everybody to buy into? And I can't wait to see how many lemmings throw themselves off of buildings or throw themselves off of bridges because they can't handle the stress of, you know, alien contact or whatever their issue is. I mean, I think it's comical. Again, guilty pleasure, but I did watch the disclosure that was done by The View several times over the weekend. And I'm telling you that it never gets old to watch them eat a big plate of dog shit and have to spit the words out and keep a straight face, especially Whoopi Goldberg. That's never getting old. It's just never getting old. And that will do until all of those barking seals are rolled up for sedition, because they have all committed, especially Anna Navarro. She is a special class of seditious, loudmouth, barking seal. And I cannot wait for her to get rolled up for sedition. And I know everybody's heard Dikesh Patel was nominated to be the replacement for Chris Wray at the FBI. And I think that's a momentous thing. A lot of people are freaked out by it. Like, you're getting played. He was the guy that wrote all the COVID rules. He was the guy that was Undersecretary of Defense, blah, blah, blah. Look, let me tell you how that game's played. Just so we can get that bullshit off the table right now. First of all, when you're an undersecretary or a nominee or an appointment in the Pentagon, you take orders from the SecDef. And if the SecDef says, this is what you're going to go do, you don't say, no, I'm not doing that. You go do it. You If you have an objection, you note your objection with the SecDev. But at the end of the day, if he says move out, you salute and you move out. And my guess is that most of the COVID stuff was being directed by NIH through the president and through Mike Pence, who was also probably a part of it. And they were being pushed to write those orders. So I don't, and the other side of that too is I personally know Kash Patel personally. And I know that he is probably playing some of the political circus and the games right now. But look, at the end of the day, he still has to get confirmed. And that's going to be a fight no matter what. Because what's the other thing they're trying to protect? They're not just trying to protect the malfeasance in the Ukraine. They're trying to protect all the malfeasance that DOJ, as well as the FBI and DHS have all committed in the last 4 years. And we're not talking about petty crimes here. We're talking about RICO. We're talking about conspiracy. We're talking about sedition. We're talking about treason. They're all stressing like big dogs because they know that if somebody like Kash Patel comes in, he's going to get to the bottom of what the FBI did on January 6th. And they're already, you can already see the press trying to spin the narrative that they're going to overturn the January 6th rulings. You can already see it. And it's going to happen anyway. But don't think for one second that these you know, swamp creatures that are at Capitol Hill that are owned by the billionaire class, don't think for one second that they're not stacking the federal courts, they're not stacking the district courts, and they're not doing their level best to make sure that anybody on a committee is a complete rhino. They are going to do whatever they can to block Trump. And we'll see what actually happens on the other side of this. I'm being optimistic, and I'll tell you why I'm being optimistic. Because the optimistic side of this is there is a spiritual aspect to this. And everything these people have tried up until this point has failed, as well as all of their plans have been outed to the point where last week on Coffee and a Mic, I don't know if Mike's out there, but last week on Coffee and a Mic, Luongo and that was actually Sean Ryan's podcast, or Sean Newman's podcast, sorry. Sean Newman's podcast. Luongo and Alex Craner on Sean Newman's podcast. And they were talking about the fact that, and I didn't know this, by the way. Just let me just preface this, that I didn't know this before the show. And I didn't even know those guys were on Sean's show. But Alex was talking about how all of the traffic cameras and all of the camera systems in the city of London have been down for the better part of 2 months, since September. And now, what's that, 3 months now? They've been completely down. And his premise is that they're setting up for a false flag in the city of London, whether that's a dirty bomb or whatever, so they can blame the Russians. And you can't tell me that there's no divine intervention in this when that kind of information is not only leaked, but it's assessed by somebody and put into a bigger context so that the public can start to see the conspiracies forming as they're actually being executed. If we would have had this level of fidelity and this much telemetry before 9/11, I can tell you that the belief system of the United States would have been drastically different. And we would have seen a massive shift in the culture back then. But again, we were beholden to, you know, legacy media, and they still had, you know, domination of the airwaves, which they don't have anymore. And we're seeing the downstream effects of that. We're seeing the second and third order effects of alternative media outing and doing the research to out some of these plans before they can be executed. That's a good thing for us. It's a good thing for us because we're seeing things real time, whereas before we didn't have that level and we didn't have the optics to see it. Now we have the optics to see it. And I think if their plans are thwarted and more people are recognizing that they're setting up for some kind of a false flag, because they're not just doing it in London. They're doing it in London and in New York. So they've done a lot of things in New York. And if you start piecing those things together, you can see a pattern there. Now, does that mean they're actually going to do anything? No, because if we out their plans, if we continue to out all of the things that don't make sense, that are out of the ordinary, that the government has control of, then guess what? More people start to buy into the fact that this was a staged event. And it goes along with some of the same types of narratives that I'm seeing from the mainstream media now. Like there was an article that came out, it was on Twitter, and it was, I can't remember if BioClandestine posted, I can't remember who posted it, but essentially, I think it was Bio. There's a conversation about not just the bio labs in Ukraine, but how the bio labs are Russian disinformation. And there, it's again, they use enough factual information and enough definition around how information operations and information warfare works to be able to convince the public that it could be true, but not enough to, you know, for it to be absolutely true. And the premise of this interview is that somebody from CBS, one of the talking heads at CBS, is interviewing, and I can't remember his name. He's an author. Maybe it was Christopher Steele. I can't remember who it was. But essentially, they set the stage to say that Russians and Russian KGB or Russian NVD or whatever they're called now, set in social media the narrative that the bio labs were taken over by the U.S., what was it called, defense, I can't think of the name of it, anyway, taken over by the U.S., and that those bio labs were actually decommissioned, and it's Russian disinformation that hit the mainstream because it went viral on social media and then hit the mainstream, and Tucker Carlson picked it up. Okay, all of that's true. That's how you play the game. You flood the system with garbage. You let the garbage become real, and then you don't counter it, and you let it go to the mainstream. And then by the time it gets to the mainstream, enough people believe it to where you don't have to worry about it being countered, because there's enough people that buy into it for it to have made it there. And typically you do that, especially when you're doing influencing operations, because you want the public to have doubts about what's real. And that way you can plant the seeds of a lot of different conspiracies and keep everybody confused as to what really is going on. But we know for a fact in this case that the biolabs are not only taken over by what is the name of that? Defense, what are they? I can't remember it off the top of my head. Threat reduction. Thank you. God, did you tell I've had like 2 hours of sleep? Anyway. So DTRA took over the sites. They did. They turned them some into bio labs. They turned some into chemical labs. They turned some into nuke labs, some into human trafficking hubs, whatever they did. And in the process of doing that, the Russians went in and hit the major ones that they had intel on and seized a bunch of documents and a bunch of scientists. And then they went to the UN and made the case with the UN, and the US not only admitted that it was true, first they denied it, then they admitted it. So we know that it for a fact, there's bio labs in the Ukraine. Now, do we know how many? Do we know who on what? No, we really don't. But the point is that it's not conspiracy, it's real. But they're already starting to set the stage for the narrative to be in the public consciousness so that they can set the ground, you know, say, let's do the groundwork so that when Trump comes in and they start accusing people of actually committing crimes, they can say that this was conspiracy theory. And you watch, the mainstream media will do that. And they have this is an existential crisis for a lot of these elites, because you break down one of those biolabs, I guarantee this, you break down one of those biolabs, you're going to see the connection to China. You're going to see the connection to the Chinese biolabs. You're going to get all the players that supplied all the material and all of the science to all of these different biolabs in China. Then you're going to get the pharmaceuticals and all the information that went to the pharmaceuticals to counter whatever you know, or to use whatever information came out of those biolabs. These people are running scared because they know that if any of that information comes out, there will not be a hole deep enough for them to hide in from the public when the public finally figures out how toxic these shots are. And this goes along with the cognitive dissonance that people are seeing graphically right now. If you talk to anybody who's got the jab and has taken the jab, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that you will see somebody that not only their belief system is so entrenched. As I had this conversation last night with my nephew, he went up to Seattle for Thanksgiving, and he was talking about, he's like, I just couldn't have any political conversations. These people are so entrenched in their belief system that they can't hear themselves. They can't hear or see anything that anybody says. And the reason why that is really for three reasons. The first one is the influencing operations they started before 2016, that Trump was a misogynist and he was evil and he's Hitler. Remember, they used all the same rhetoric back in 2016, but it wasn't until 2024 and 2023 that the rhetoric was basically sedition. And you can see the development of it. And like I said, after the election, when you do influence operations, they take years. So you keep the influencing going and you change the, you got to refresh the bullshit every so often to keep people buying into it. I mean, look at the Nasera Jacera stuff. That's a perfect psyop, right? Because they have people that just are, they're convinced. And you can't talk them out of it. That there's this big jubilee that's going to happen and some quantum financial system that's going to take over and there's not going to be any more fraud. I mean, in the history, in human history, there's never been a financial system without some kind of fraud. There's never been a voting system without some kind of fraud. There's never been a government that wasn't tyrannical in some way, shape, or form. You can't change human nature. But these people have been so convinced because of the continual messaging and the continual stream of BS. They're convinced that all of it is true. And it's the same thing with people with the jab. They're so convinced, but it's more than that with people with the jab, because they were also doing influencing operations to give people and empower people to report their neighbors like the Nazis did in the 30s. With the Jews. First you dehumanize them, then you villainize them, then you attack them, and then you completely destroy them, which is exactly what they tried to do during COVID. It was the exact same script. And so now you have a portion of the population, just like you did in Germany in the 30s and 40s. You have an entire swath of the population that's so ardent in their belief system. And they've so bought into the narrative that you cannot talk them off the ledge, no matter what physical evidence is in front of them. They can't make the leap. Even if they wanted to make the leap, they can't make the leap. And I tried to use this same analogy with religion and with numerology and astrology. It's the same thing. It's the same psyop being played over and over and over again. You talk to anybody who's an ardent Christian and you talk numerology or astrology, the first thing they say is it's satanic. Never mind, the rest of the planet understands it. They use it. They understand their sign, the astrological sign that they're born under. I mean, the rest of the world, not just the US, but the Western Christian world, has been indoctrinated that it's satanic. And just understanding it makes you buy into, or at least that gives people the perception that you bought into the satanic part of that, which is completely untrue. And it goes back to that historian that Tucker Carlson interviewed, I can't remember his name, Daryl something or another, where he was talking about the religion of the state. The historical religion of the state dictates how you tell the story of a specific event in history. That's exactly what you're seeing with COVID. And what are doctors doing? The doctors are seeing myocarditis. They're seeing heart problems. They're seeing neurological problems. They're seeing cognitive decline. What are they? Their first answer is it's long COVID. It can't possibly be the jabs because correlation is not causation, which is a bunch of nonsense. And at the end of the day, we all see it because we're not wrapped up in the religion of the historical religion of the state. But I guarantee you we are when it comes to World War II and Nazi Germany. And all of that has to be unwound. And there has to be a source of truth. What we're witnessing is the fact that the world has not had a source of truth in over five decades. It's all been obfuscated nonsense. And that brings me to a post I did on Twitter yesterday. I forwarded it, and I can't remember who posted it. I think one of my admins sent it to me, but it was basically a guy that was explaining how the British government works and that the MPs sit and read a script that's written by the deep state, e.g. the bureaucrats, the unelected bureaucrats. And they're all given scripts around the table. So when they have a cabinet meeting, they just read their scripts and play along. And it's fantastic to finally see somebody validate what I've been saying for almost 3 years, that it's all a scripted bunch of nonsense, right down to the cabinet positions sitting there in front of the president. You think that it's this ad hoc conversation with the presser, and it's not. It's none of that. They're all handed a script. They all play their part, just like they do in Congress. And then when they're off camera, they're laughing at you. And they've been doing it for generations. For decades. This is not a new phenomenon. It's just over the last two decades, the system has gotten so corrupt. It's so visible now that you can't deny that it's actually going on in front of you. And that's the piece that we have to dismantle when Trump comes to town. And look, if Trump doesn't get inaugurated, I'm just going to say this. If you are not completely ungovernable, then you are already signed up for the control grid that they want to go after you and build around you. And have you been to Costco lately? They make you scan your card on the way in. You know, the last time I went in, I almost said, go fuck yourself to the people at the front door. But then I realized they're just the messengers and they really don't care. And the managers really don't care. It's the dipshits that are up in Issaquah, Washington at headquarters that is, they're the problem, right? But they're not even the problem. The problem is the CFPB, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, that's muscling them to go along with this to implement the social scoring system. And why is that? California, Oregon, and Washington, what are they doing right now? They're still pushing the green agenda. The rest of the country has abandoned it. Most of the world's abandoned it, but they're still pushing for it. And short of an armed revolution in those states, I don't see how people are going to take back the state. Because Washington State's a perfect example. Bob Ferguson was installed, and the only thing this egghead is really worried about is how to fight Trump. He's not worried about anything to do with Washington. You know why? Because he knows he's got the legislature, he knows he's got the courts, and he knows he has most of the police forces in the major cities in his hip pocket. He can do whatever he wants to do. I'm telling you, there is a bigger plan here that's going on, and we have to undo all of this in the next 4 to 6 years. And look, this brings me back to what I was saying earlier about being cautiously optimistic. I'm optimistic, and here's why I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic because there's a lot of people that are paying attention right now. Across the entire country, people are watching what Trump's doing. what Trump's saying, even Alex Jones. I don't watch Alex Jones very often, but every so often I get a clip sent to me, and he was saying if he doesn't say something by Monday about the situation in Ukraine and the situation in Israel, then I'm going to start calling him out. And I've been calling him out. Like his pick for the FDA, swamp creature, and everybody's freaking out about Trump's pick for the DEA. Don't you think that's a good thing? Don't you think it's a good thing that there's so much noise every time he makes a choice that you don't think it's getting back to him? You don't think people are telling him that social media is blowing up about his choices? It absolutely is getting back to him. He absolutely is paying attention. Because remember, this is the guy that used Twitter to capture the social and cultural narrative away from the mainstream media in 2016. This guy worked in the entertainment industry for 10 years. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what it means when you get negative feedback from a bulk of the population on social media. He knows what it does to the bottom line. He knows what it does to his ratings. And he knows what it does to his level of trust with the public. There is not one part of that that he's putting out there that he doesn't watch the feedback on. I guarantee you that he's watching this. And I also guarantee you that just because he's nominating these people doesn't mean he's going to give them the authority to do anything. Because remember who he put at HHS, Bobby Kennedy. And I can't wait for Bobby Kennedy to go in there and start throwing people out wholesale. Because first of all, the confirmation hearing is going to be very entertaining. And secondly, you're going to put an extremely smart dude in front of a bunch of extremely dumb people, and they're going to try and play stump the dummy. You know that's not going to go very well, right? Because most of those people in Congress have two brain cells that are fighting for third place, and none of them are smart enough to go toe-to-toe with a guy like Bobby Kennedy. So I bring it. I'm going to get some popcorn. I'm going to sit and watch all of that because you know it's going to be epic. I mean, imagine a douche canoe like Eric Swalwell trying to go have a mental battle, a battle of the wits, with a guy like Bobby Kennedy. That guy is completely disarmed. He's not only disarmed, he's going to a gunfight in a phone booth with a pocket knife. Good luck with that. And I guarantee you the rest of those knuckleheads that are in the House and Senate that are going to be arrayed against him, they're equally dumb. So I just enjoy the ride. Because at the end of the day, what I think Trump will do is he will have the vice president recess Congress, nominate all or confirm all of his people, and then move on. Because that's what I would do. I would go tactical, and I would take the initiative on day one. And the other thing I would do is after I recess Congress, I would go arrest Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, Mike Johnson, Lindsey Graham, and the whole cast of characters. I would arrest every single one of them for treason on day one and take the public blowback, because then you're done with them. Then you can have people appointed that you can actually vet before they get into Congress. And more importantly, then you can go after the states, because here's the thing that people aren't really, really paying attention to. You can go into the states under federal statutes and go after their election systems. Because remember, you don't just do a state election, you do a federal election. And if you're tampering with one, chances are you're tampering with both. So you go in under the Patriot Act, you confiscate all of their machines, all of their quote unquote election information, and then you start doing deep analysis. And when you find the crimes, because they're there, it's just a matter of looking for them. When you find the crimes, you find the conspiracy, then you go after their email, then you go after all their communications, and guess what? You got them by the short hairs. And then you go and you start rolling up all these state actors like Gavin Newsom. And most importantly, then you go after Smartmatic, Dominion, and all the other NGOs/companies, and they start dismantling all the public-private partnerships and all the law firms. Because the other thing that's going to happen, too, is the law firms that were supporting all the lawfare, they're going to take a dive, too, because all of them committed sedition. whether they want to call it something else, they don't get to hide behind attorney-client privilege. Sorry, you're going to prison for sedition and treason. Treason is treason. Doesn't matter what venue, doesn't matter what context it's in, it's still treason. And if you committed treason to interfere with an election, guess what? I don't care what law firm you're with. I don't care how much money you have. I don't even care how big your family name is. You are going to prison. And that's what they're all afraid of, is that you start tugging on the thread and you start pulling on the bigger string that comes with it. You start getting all the fish that are wrapped around that and all the fish that are hooked up downstream. And that's what we want to do. We want to completely dismantle all of these systems, because the last thing we need to dismantle is the tech bros and the censorship apparatus. That needs to be dismantled with extreme military prejudice, because what they've done and the way that they've done it not only impacts national security, it impacts the U.S.'s ability to wage not only war, but to inform the public. And when you break the public trust, whether or not you think that you're breaking the public trust for the very simple fact of the good of the nation, you break the public trust. That is an act of treason. And it was done willfully this time with both COVID, 9/11, the war in Iraq, the withdrawal of Afghanistan, and a host of other activities willfully done to misinform the public. And you don't get to hide behind the federal statute. So all these media companies that were gaslighting the public, guess what? They're all going to take a dive too. That's why this is a bigger task than just going after Hunter Biden. Because Hunter Biden is just one fish that was used to cast a wider net. We need to go after the wider net and get everybody this time. The Romneys, the Kerrys, the Bush clan, the Clintons, the Obamas, and all the minions. They all need to go to prison. And all of their crimes have to be published in a source of truth. There has to be a source of truth. They can post all of this information for the world to grab, whether it's the National Archives, doesn't matter. But there has to be a source of truth. While we're doing that, we need to basically rebuild the military, rebuild all of our infrastructure, as well as our production capabilities. And I'm optimistic about that, because Trump's already talking about bringing investment back to the U.S. Now, look, Martin Armstrong talks about the tariffs. Tom Luongo talks about the tariffs. Alex Craner talks about the tariffs. They understand the financial aspects of this as it relates to the economy. But if we bring industrialization back to the U.S. and we bring the capability to marry high tech with production, and we build a sustainable, and I'm not talking about sustainable from the aspect of renewable. I'm talking sustainable, meaning we build viable industries that don't decay and atrophy after there's a major conflict, like the auto industry, et cetera, then we'll have enduring production capability, which is what we've been lacking in this country for almost 70 years. And we have to bring that back in a sustainable way, so that it doesn't have to be rebuilt and renewed. It could continually be improved over the years and remain viable with the latest technology. That industrial base has to come back here. That's what we relied on in World War II. Our production capacity is what made us win the war. It was not boots on the ground. It was logistics. Because we were supplying U.S. troops, British troops, Russian troops, and a host of other countries with weapons, aircraft, bombs, bullets, you name it, including gas. We have to bring all of that back. And Trump's laser focused on that. Now, does that mean we're not going to have financial difficulties? Absolutely we are. I think we're on the verge of that right now. I believe Ed Dowd is spot on with that. But there's a lot of room for optimism right now. And there's a lot of room for hope. There's a lot of room for people to just look forward and say, there is a path forward now. The question is, and it's only one question, are you willing to fight for it if these people make a play or, you know, they conduct their Battle of the Bulge? Are you ready to go fight? Because if you're not, they may very well win. I can tell you, I'm not going to sit down for this. I'm not going to let them keep Trump out of office. It's not because I believe in Trump. It's because I want them out of power. I want all these people that are bureaucrats that are in the background. I want to go take a sledgehammer to every single one of those buildings, and I want to break the concrete into small pieces of dust so that they can't rebuild anything after 4 years. I want to build such a strong feeling of country, faith, and family that they can't ever break those bonds again, no matter how hard they try with an information war. And at the same time I'm doing that, I want to rebuild the medical system, and I want to rebuild our technology base when it comes to weapons so we can counter all these fucking drones. And that's just a microcosm of the things that I want to get done. But the point is, I'm optimistic that we're going to get there. Whether there's pain involved, don't care. I mean, we got through the election without violence. I was convinced there was going to be violence. I was convinced we weren't even going to get there because they were going to conduct a false flag. And they may still do that. They may still try. But the optimism and the hope here is the fact that we have so many people paying attention right now that they won't be able to get away with it like they did in 9/11. And thank God for that. Because if we didn't have those people who were paying attention, especially if we would have had that 9/11, we wouldn't have gone to war for 20 years. And we'd be in a different place right now. So there's tons of room for optimism and hope. And I'm looking forward with optimism right now. Until I have a reason not to, I'm going to continue down that path. But it's time to refocus, and it's time to start looking at how we rebuild all this. And most importantly, it's time to start visualizing exactly what we want on the other side of this so that we can make it happen. Whether you want to call it will it into existence or pray and turn it into divine intervention, I don't care what you call that. We as a nation need to look forward and say, what kind of a nation do we want to live in? What kind of transparency do we want from our government? What kind of accountability are we going to demand for all of these people that have committed crimes? That's what we need to start thinking through. And we need to start moving forward instead of looking backwards going, yeah, that was the greatest generation. We need to be the greatest generation now. We need to exist to instill a moral compass in our children so that that continues on. That's what we need to do. That's the path forward. And that is exactly what we have to do. And during that whole process, China will get their reckoning. Because remember, China is built on an illusion. It's built on this flawed system that is completely controlled to the point where every centralized control mechanism is going to fail at some point because they lack the ability to innovate. They lack the ability to think outside the box. They lack the ability to create. They can build all day long, but if you can't create and build, you've lost the war already. And they can take existing technology and make it better. They can take technology and stretch it to its limit, but they can't create new tech. And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what we're good at. That's who we are. You know, the Germans in World War II were so astonished that we could repair a tank in the field that had been destroyed. They were astonished that we could do it. And that's what helped us win the war, because we thought outside of the box and realized we can't just keep shipping tanks over. We need a mechanism to do field recovery, field repair, and, you know, basically lather, rinse, repeat, and send tanks back forward. And that's why Patton, he settled on the M4 Sherman design over the Pershing. Because the Pershing was a more complex design. It was a heavier tank and it was harder to produce. And Patton realized that the Sherman was good enough and we could do enough advancement to it to make it good enough to produce in large numbers to overwhelm the enemy. And when you start looking at things from that perspective, that's the piece that the Chinese don't have. They don't have the ability to look forward and go, we need these things. And these things are good enough, but these things have to be impeccable. They're too busy doing infiltration and stealing. It's a flaw of the communist system. And I say that because if you go back to the Russians and the Russian before the collapse of the wall, the Russians were really good at taking technology all the way to the end of its capability. But it was after the wall came down, after the government was rebuilt, after the society was rebuilt, that the Russian ingenuity came back. And don't make the mistake of underestimating the Russians and how ingenious they are. They are extremely, extremely ingenious people. The Germans are great engineers. The Russians are ingenious at making things and figuring out ways to do things very cheaply and very easily. And I am telling you, if you underestimate them, you will always lose. That is a piece that we should learn from history. And that's the other piece, that while we're going through this, we need to revamp our entire education system, and then we need to change completely the historical religion of the state and make it the factual historical truth, not the accepted doctrine, the accepted narrative, or the accepted historical belief system. No, we have to look at history objectively. We have to take a good, hard, cold look at what we did in both Vietnam and Iraq the first time, Iraq the second time, and we need to do real civics and real critical thinking and teach kids how to really critically think and to make risk-based decisions again. That's going to take decades to do. Not that we can't do it, but we have to do it. We have a moral obligation to do that now. And that's why the path forward is going to be so tenuous. It's because we have to keep our eye on all of these different parts of our society that have been not only neglected, they've been purposely deconstructed. And that's going to take a significant amount of time. Even if we start today, it's going to take a significant amount of time. That's why Trump's not the savior. He's not even the start of the savior. He's not even the start. He's the guy that's reminded us that we have to go back to the basics. And he's the guy that pronounced the old system dead. If anything, Trump will be the guy that is remembered for the fact that he declared the mainstream media dead and the control system dead. And that I'm grateful for. I'm very thankful for that. I'm also, you know, optimistic that people are starting to see the light with all this trans, gay, DEI, and all these other liberal ideologies that don't work. Even in the staunchest of places, you start showing people the truth and you will see something different. And that's the piece that the world has missed for the last 70 years is the truth. Everything's been such watered down nonsense and such manipulated BS. They don't know what to believe. When you start giving people the truth about what's been happening with children, no matter how shocking it is, you have to rip the Band-Aid off so people see just how bad it is. You know, when you deal with alcoholics and drug addicts, even sex addicts, you deal with one thing over and over and over again. You deal with the spouse that said, I had no idea it was this bad. Yes, you did. You didn't realize it was this bad because you didn't want to realize it was this bad. And most of the public knows it's this fucking bad, but they don't want to admit it. Again, cognitive dissonance. Why? Because it means they would have to face their belief system. They would have to face what they've constructed as a reality around our country, our national ethos, and our ideology. And they're going to have to look at that and say, yeah, I got that wrong. How many people do you know right now that could admit they were wrong about fucking anything? I'm telling you, not many. I see it every day. I see people that just can't admit that they were wrong about anything. And that's the narcissism that has slowly crept into our society by all this consumer-based messaging about you can have the bigger, better deal. I mean, when you cut out the bigger, better deal and you realize you don't need half of that shit or want it, guess what? You start looking at things differently. But a lot of people never get out of that mode. And, you know, if you had the toys, like I had the airplane, the boat, I had all the bikes and all of that bullshit. You know what I figured out? I figured out that everybody wants to go up flying. Nobody wants to help you put the airplane away. Nobody wants to do any of the maintenance. And you take the boat out, and as soon as the boat hits the dock, everybody vanishes and scatters and goes to the wind. You know why? Because they don't want to be the boat ferry. They don't want to do the cleanup because cleanup's hard. It takes time. They want to go continue partying and having fun. And you do that enough with enough shit, and you start realizing that other people's stuff is shit and you want their shit next to your stuff because it makes your stuff feel bad. And more importantly, your stuff is shit and you want to get rid of the shit, which is where most people are right now. And I can tell you that when you get to that space, you stop caring about things for the sake of status. Like Mike's wife loved the fact that I had an airplane. Loved it. But she did not want to fly unless we were going somewhere. And more importantly, she never missed a beat to tell people that we had an airplane or that I was a pilot. Like that means anything. And she was so wrapped up in the status of it that she literally couldn't see anything else about it. And she never saw the frustration in the fact that, you know, it was on me to take care of all that stuff. And you get to the point where you realize you're killing yourself for the wrong things and the wrong reasons. You know, I'm getting less and less stuff, getting rid of more and more stuff as I go. And I can tell you that spending time with my family is way, way more fulfilling than a weekend on the boat, weekend out doing whatever with a bunch of friends, because you realize that some of that's fun, but the rest of it's really empty. The secret sauce in all of it is actually spending time and having, you know, meaningful time with the people you care about. And, you know, last night, one of the guys that listens to the show, we've been friends since high school, called me out of the blue and said, you know, I haven't caught up, was thinking about you, wanted to tell you, I love you, man. And just wanted you, how did he say it? Just wanted you to know I was thinking about you. And, you know, it kind of blew me away at first, because I'm like, I haven't talked to you in a while, man, but it's good to hear you. But he reminded me of the things that I've been talking about and saying, and he's exercising the things I've been talking about. And it's weird when it's played back to you and you realize that people are actually making a diligent effort. My advice is to continue doing that. Continue being overt about your actions. Continue being overt about planning for what's coming next. Be overt about letting people know you care about them. Be overt about looking forward and reminding people in your life that matter why they matter. Now is the time I would think it's more important right now to do that than any other time in our history. Because when people don't have a compass, they gravitate to whatever's easy. And we may face a bunch of ambiguity moving forward. And I don't know what that looks like. I'm not even going to venture a guess. Do I feel like things are off? I feel like they're planning something. Does that mean they're going to be successful and pull it off? Not necessarily. But what it means is I am going to be prepared no matter what. I'm going to be diligent about my actions no matter what. And I am going to continue to live my moral compass no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, if it gets bad. I don't think it will. No matter what, I'm prepared. And I'm going to continue to be prepared. And I suggest you do the same and stop worrying about the peripherals of what could be or should be, what might be. Can't control any of that. The only thing you can control is your little sphere of influence and your line of sight. So do that. Start there. But let's start looking forward. Stop looking backwards. because we're going to have to be creative about some of the things that we do in the near future. And now's the time to start thinking about it in whatever concatenation or form that shows up. Like the next fight we're going to have to fight is this one ID. And this, once that comes out, I don't know about you. I'm already in the system. I've been in the system since I had a military ID. And they're trying to convert everybody to this one ID. If you've never been in the military or the government, then guess what? You're not in that system. You don't have to sign up for it. And they can't make it mandatory, but they're going to try. The new channel is called The Path Forward. And it should be out there already. I've already updated the name. I'm working with one of my admins to put together the intro for the new show. And we should be ready to go the second week of January. And I'll let everybody know where it's at, post the URLs, et cetera, so everybody knows where we're going to be and what we're going to be putting out and when. But that's down the road a bit. Right now, focus on living your life, number one. And, you know, I didn't post anything. I posted a message on Thanksgiving Day. I do that usually every year. And I took a bunch of feedback because I didn't post a Veterans Day thing. How do I explain it? Veterans Day for me doesn't mean a whole lot. It doesn't mean a whole lot for a lot of reasons. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, I think about Memorial Day. That has value. It's the only way to say that. I can't explain it probably any better than that. But if you were wondering why I didn't post a message on Veterans Day, that's why. But Thanksgiving, I do. Every year I make it. Yeah, every Thanksgiving Day, ritualistically, I pick at least three or four things to be thankful for. Because there's usually, you know, a long list. And this year, you know, I don't think I've ever been so glad to be wrong. The election came and went. There was no major violence. There was no chaos in the streets. There weren't any cities burning. There was, I want to say, a pause, but it wasn't a negative pause. And I didn't think we'd get that far. And everybody talks about, well, it's still not over. You're right, it may not be over. But if you've been in country and you've been in theater, I guarantee you one thing, that you're thankful when you don't have an enemy contact every day. You're thankful for that. You're thankful you don't have mortar rounds, you know, coming into your FOB for at least 2-3 hours. I mean, you would be surprised. Should be the path forward. I'll look, but you would be surprised how grateful people are when there's a pause. And right now we have a pause. It gives people time to regroup, reorient, reset, and re-equip. And that's what everybody should be doing right now. Not to mention, you know, you get to enjoy one more holiday. And nobody knows what tomorrow brings. So you might as well enjoy what you have right now and be thankful for it. Because you may not get a second chance. And if being a country teaches you anything, it's that. So be thankful for that right now and use the time you have. And be thankful for the fact that there hasn't been any other drama at the national level that's been, you know, all consuming. Because that's yet another distraction. And I'll say this again because it bears mentioning, and I'll close with this. No matter what happens, if something does happen, stay out of the emotional space. Keep it logical, keep it focused. And I mean laser focused. Keep it focused on what you know, what you don't know. Don't focus on speculation. Don't focus on what you've heard. Focus on what you know and you can prove. And that way you'll stay out of the emotional space. Because the way they got us with 9/11 is they hit the towers. It was shock and awe. And it was 24/7 coverage for weeks on end. And it captured the entire social consciousness for the entire country. We don't want to get sucked into that again if something like that happens. We want to have our feet on the ground and see things logically, from exactly what we saw to exactly what we know to exactly what we can prove, and then make decisions from there and stay completely out of the emotional space of that. Because that is where we as a country went wrong. Because we blamed a bunch of people that had nothing to do with that and villainized an entire class, a group of people, because of propaganda. We can't do that again. And that's exactly what they will try to do if they do something. They will try and do some kind of a false flag and blame it on Russia. And we know the script. You've seen the script. If that happens, go off of what you know and what you can prove. Because I'm sure some of it's going to be CGI, if not all of it, or AI driven. Just remember that. And don't get wrapped up in the emotional stuff. Because the emotional stuff is what the game's all about. If they keep you emotionally hijacked, they can manipulate you to do and accept anything they want. And that's the reason why you stay out of the emotional space, is so you don't get jacked up and wrapped up in their narratives. You can think clearly, logically, and you can look at bullshit for what it is. And most of us didn't do that after 9/11. We were all shocked because we were fast asleep. Guess what? Good news is you're not asleep anymore. The bad news is you're not asleep anymore. But the good news is you're not asleep anymore. So you're not going to be surprised. You're going to be questioning everything that happens. And that's exactly what you need to do. That's what we all should be doing. And we should all be reminding each other to stay out of the emotional space if anything does occur. No matter what it is, whether it's financial, whether it's kinetic, whether it's cyber, whether it's a natural disaster, it doesn't matter. Stay out of the emotional space. Go back to what Lawrence Gonzalez says in Deep Survival. Get your wits about you. Accept the situation you're in and start making decisions. And take the emotions completely out of it. And I guarantee you that you'll not only land on your feet, you'll help other people too. That's the bottom line. I'll be back on Wednesday. I may do a show on Friday. It depends. I don't want to get in the way of the Gray Matter show. They do a Friday night show, so I'm going to try and figure out a time to do it. I may do it Thursday night. Not sure exactly when yet, but I'll see what I can do. I have a feeling the next couple of days are going to be pretty busy from a lot of different standpoints, but stay tuned. I'll see you on Wednesday. God bless, everyone. One team, one fight.